Well, good evening, y'all, and welcome to Centerpoint Midweek Refresh. It's always great to join together for a few moments of prayer, and I would love to lead us in a devotion this evening on Psalm 63. The title of this is Thirsty Prayer, making much of the biblical connection between our physical sensation of hunger and thirst and the spiritual counterpart that pops up in Psalms and in other biblical verses. So I would ask y'all to turn with me to Psalm 63, and I'll read the first five verses of this psalm. Helpfully, this introduction tells us that this is a psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah, which immediately gives us insight into his thirsty frame of mind. This is where David writes and sings, "O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory, because your steadfast love is better than life. My lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. In your name, I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich food, and my mouth will praise you with joyful lips." This is the word of our Lord. While reading Eric Alexander, I was struck with a provocative question, and that is, why do we worship? Do we worship out of a sense of duty only, or do we worship to satisfy a hunger and a thirst? Well, obviously, both components are there. Worship is a holy duty. It is something that the Lord demands of us, but it also should be the satisfying of an internal craving where we cannot be apart from the Lord for any length of time without feeling deeply the pain and the hunger and the thirst of that and wanting those impulses to be satisfied. Well, this psalm, among many others, reminds us that that craving can be satisfied and only is satisfied in the presence of the God that we were created to worship. And so we are right to feel that pang of hunger or thirst for the Lord when we sense his distance. This is a psalm of David, we're told, when he was in the wilderness or the desert of Judah. And so his physical thirst and hunger in the desert, out by himself in the bleak desert, corresponds to this inner sense of longing that he has for God and his desire to have that satisfied. If you ever spent much time in the desert, I haven't all that much, frankly, but you know that it is a bleak place, it's a barren place, it's a quiet place. Above all things, it is a dry place, it's an arid place. And in the desert, things have a way of coming clearly into focus. All distractions have a way of being blocked out. In the desert, you don't really have time for frivolous matters. What's most important tends to come sharply and clearly into focus, and that seems to be the case with David. He is away from all the trappings of royalty and being such a prominent figure in Old Testament Israel. He is out there with just the Lord and himself and nature, and he senses the presence of the Lord and hungers for more of that presence. So there in the desert of Judah, out in the wilderness, David's physical thirst reminds him of his thirst for God. He says, "O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you." We hear that phrase, "I seek you," and we think of the term in our own day and age, a seeker after God, or someone who seeks the Lord in sort of a generic, general way. And we see that that way of thinking can be at odds with passages that remind us that no one seeks God. There is no one who does good, not even one. There's no one who wants the presence of God in his natural state. And it reminds us that David has already been sought out by God He's already been redeemed. He's already been loved with an everlasting love. David is in the family of God already. And so he acknowledges that. He says, you are already my God. You're not just God in an objective sense, so that I see the heavens declaring your glory and I recognize objectively your presence and your power. You're also my God. I have a personal relationship with you through your covenant love, through your redeeming love. And so he says, you are my God. And so having been sought out by God and loved by God and claimed as one of God's own, David is now spending the rest of his life seeking after more and more of God, seeking to know God better, seeking to know more of him, seeking to grow in his presence. So having been sought by God, and that's the right order in our lives, once we are sought out by the great shepherd, then we spend the rest of our lives seeking to know more of him and to know him more deeply. So he's already God's. He says, you are my God. But he wants more. He hungers and thirsts for more of God, more of his Savior, more of his God's love for him and knowledge of him. So how does David seek God? Well, we have several descriptions of the way in which he does, and they're all pretty intense. In verse 1, he says, earnestly I seek you. How do I respond to being sought out by you and loved by you? I seek you earnestly. And that word can be translated, I seek you early. In other words, first thing in the morning. It is his first priority. I wonder what your first priority in the morning is. I wish I could say something spiritual, but my first priority is to go to the coffee pot, frankly, because I need the caffeine kick to get going in the morning. But David's first impulse is to seek his God earnestly. To seek his God. That is the pick-me-up that he needs in the morning. That is what he cannot do without. And so earnestly, early, first thing, David seeks first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So David sought him earnestly. David sought him urgently in the sense that everything else in his life could be put aside until he found himself in the presence of God earnestly and urgently, clearly, intensely. All of these adjectives we could describe when we describe David's search for God. He's parched in the desert and it reminds him of his need and his craving for Almighty God. Notice that not just David's soul is thirsty here, but also his body. We see that in the second part of verse 1, not only my soul, but my flesh faints for you. Reminds us that God is the God not only of our souls. We don't want to over-spiritualize our walk with God. He also is the God of our bodies. And we remember that one day we will go and be with the Lord, and one day in the new heavens and the new earth, we will exist with him physically and spiritually, and we'll be in his presence. And so God is the God of our physical selves, of our spiritual selves, of our entire beings. And he says, even my flesh longs to be in your sight, in your presence. God is the God who created David for himself, and David's heart will be restless until it finds its rest in him. This whole idea of dryness I experienced on a trip to Ontario, California. I helped a friend of mine move out there a few years ago, probably not too far from your neck of the woods, Sean. And I was warned when I went out there to make sure that you hydrate frequently. Don't wait until you sense your thirstiness. Go ahead and replenish your fluids before you feel thirsty. Well, I didn't heed those words of advice as well as I should have, and I began to feel faint after a few days out there, a few hours in the afternoon sunshine when the moisture was being evaporated from my body, and I almost literally fainted. And I realized as I did that I was craving water. And so I remember downing several glasses to replenish the water that I had lost. How much truer is that spiritually? We sense that there's a strong connection between our physical strength and our spiritual resources. We shouldn't wait until we are hitting a wall physically to realize that we have been apart from the presence of the Lord too long and we're falling apart as a result. We need to daily go to Him for the replenishment that we need. There's a present dimension and a past dimension and a future dimension to this connection between physical and spiritual thirstiness. First of all, the present dimension, in David's first verse here, he says, in the present tense, you are my God, earnestly I seek you. Present tense, my soul thirsts for you right now. My flesh faints for you currently, as in a dry and weary land where there's no water. So it's something that he's experiencing in the moment. He's thirsting for God and senses that strongly. There's also a past dimension to this. We see that in verse 2. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory. David is like many of us. He recalls past times in the sanctuary, worshiping the Lord with the Lord's people, and how meaningful and how sweet and how fulfilling that is. And we remember certain worship services in which it is especially meaningful. Maybe it even moves us to tears, and we just sense the Lord's presence almost palpably in that service. So that later on, when we're going through dry periods, we miss those times, and we recall those times almost with a bittersweet longing to go back and experience that again. So we were on the mountain, so to speak, in the sanctuary, and then we find ourselves in the valley, and we can't wait to get to the next mountaintop. We can't wait for that tangible sense of God's presence again and that replenishing by the Holy Spirit. So David yearns for this past worship experience that he's had. He wants to get back there again. He felt close to God once. He doesn't at the moment, and he misses that, and he craves that. He craves it with his body and with his soul, and it drives him to prayer and to praise. There's also, finally, a future dimension to it. We see this in verse 3 and beyond. He says, because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. And so he anticipates getting there again. I will praise you. And almost as if he's encouraging himself here as he prays, he says, I will bless you in the future. And as long as I live, as the Lord gives me life, I will use that life and that breath to praise him. So there's a future dimension here. It says, in your name, I will lift up my hands as if expecting a blessing from heaven. My soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich food, and my mouth will praise you with joyful lips. So he anticipates a return, and he anticipates this longing within him being fulfilled in a glorious way, both in this life and much more fully in the life to come. As C.S. Lewis says, if we have a hunger within us that no earthly experience or thing can fulfill, the best explanation is that we were meant for another world to fulfill those longings and those cravings. And truly, we were made for God. We were made thirsty for Him. And to recognize that thirst and that hunger is a great blessing, because then we know where to go to have it filled. Nothing in this world is going to satisfy it, only the presence of the Lord and a relationship with Him. And Jesus makes this crystal clear, doesn't He, in John 7. When he says to the crowd, if anyone is thirsty, let him do what? Let him come to me and drink. Jesus alone is the one who satisfies that internal spiritual thirst and that physical thirst that manifests in our body and our souls. And so let us be consistently, daily, going back to his presence to replenish what we need, the resources we need for life and godliness. With that in mind, let's turn our attention to our prayer sheets. I'd love to begin by praying for missionaries that we support. Our focus tonight is on Scott and Tanya Berthoum. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. Someone please correct me if I'm not. We have some information and a picture there to help us in our praying for them. We're also, again, delighted to have Sean Henderson and Samantha and their wonderful family with us. And we're just thrilled you guys are here, and we hope that you already feel embraced by the congregation. And we can't wait to see what the Lord has in store. So we're praying for you guys, your ministry, and also your family's happiness and health and all of the good, rich blessings of the Lord. It's wonderful to have you here. We have three prayer points to pray for Scott and Tanya. Let's also remember whatever other missionaries the Lord may bring to your mind and heart as we pray. And let's lift these requests up out loud for a few moments, please. Let's pray together.